Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? Hallelujah. Were you blessed this morning? Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, it's so exciting to serve the Lord, and it's just, you know, there is nothing greater than being a child of God. Hallelujah. Man has all of his titles and all of his accomplishments, but when you can say, I'm a child of God. Woo! There is so much that comes with that. And we have reason to rejoice. We have reason to be thankful and to be grateful for all that God is doing in our lives. All you have to do is recognize it, right? Once you realize it and you see it and you're able to recognize what God is doing, man, it just changes your whole perspective on life. Isn't that awesome? Hallelujah. Well, we want God to hold on to us. I know I want God to hold on to me. I'm going to hold on to him too. Hallelujah. You're hanging on because you know the world is shaking everybody up. Isn't that right? And we need to hold on to the Lord. And it's a blessing to be able to celebrate what God is doing and who he is. And there is no greater joy than that. Praise God. Well, it's good to see everyone this morning, and I hope you are enjoying the worship and the time in the presence of the Lord, and that God has been ministering to you and speaking to you, and your walk with God is becoming more and more enhanced, that every day you are drawing closer to God. You know, that's what this is really all about, isn't it? You know, Jesus is coming again. Just in case you forgot, I figure I'd say that again, just as a reminder that Jesus said that he is going to return. He is coming, and he's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. Isn't that right? He's coming for people that are prepared in him. We have been born of God. We are his children, and he's coming for us. Hallelujah. He's coming to redeem us and to give us a do-over. Hallelujah. A real good do-over. What Adam messed up in the garden, God says, don't worry, I got this under control. And so you and I can trust in God. We can hold on to him, and we can know that he is making a way even when it seems impossible, the word of God says. And so I would like to begin today by sharing from the word of God. And as you know, we have been talking about being citizens of the holy city and how important it is to come into kingdom compliance. And as you and I try to apply the principles of God as God's word in our lives, you know, we are experiencing life. Did you know that, right? We're all having life experiences. And the amazing thing about serving God is that no matter what your background is, no matter where you come from, no matter who you are, God will meet you where you are. And not only will he meet you there, but he will then begin to lead you to where he is. And he will bring us, he will guide us to himself, to him. And we will become more and more like him. That's why serving God is so awesome. And I just want to encourage you today, the world is an evil place, and it is a fallen world, and those who are outside of Christ are lost in their sins. They're living in a state of blindedness and darkness. And so when we see the world going the way it is, it shouldn't be a surprise to us, because the world is lost. It's wandering around. People have no clue. I think coronavirus really brought that out. They're making things up. They're guessing. They're just kind of going along, figuring it out as they go. You know, but God is not that way. God has a definite plan. And God is working out his plan. He's not trying to figure it out. He's not going, well, you know, you sinned yesterday. Man, I wasn't expecting that. You know, you really threw me off when you said those bad words, or when you did that evil thing that you did. I just had no idea. You're going to have to give me a couple of weeks to get this all figured out. You know, God is not doing that. That God, he knew what you were going to do. He knew the mistakes you were going to make. He knows all the problems that are going to happen even before they're going to happen, because God created us and he knows us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And even still, he loves us. Isn't that great? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, we always want to put our best foot forward in life because we want to give a good impression. That you can't do that with God, because he's looking at 2 years from now and he's going, yeah, you're going to blow this, but you know, we'll just go with it. Yeah. And I'm going to use that. I'm already working out a plan to help you to navigate through your problems, through your difficulties. And that's why when you think about how life is, when you look at the challenges that we face and the difficulties that we face, you know, it seems like they're mountainous when we approach them. But it's just amazing how they seem to fade away over time. And then you look back and you go, wait, remember that whole huge problem we were having? Whatever happened? And all of a sudden, it's just behind you. It's just done. It's over. It's solved. Now you're looking at a new one, right? Now there's something else that's coming. You're going, oh, how am I going to get through this? How am I going to deal with it? But in the same way God brought you through the ones in the past, he is able to bring us through the ones in the future. And so whatever we are facing, we can trust in the Lord. We can trust God. All we have to do is acknowledge him, and he will direct us. And it's literally that simple. If we just do what God is leading us and guiding us to do. And so today I would like to begin in Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. And this is our lead verse for today. It says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood by reason of the life that makes atonement." Hallelujah. In other words, when the altars of God were created in the Old Testament, God had commanded the Hebrew people to have these altars where they would offer sacrifices, and he would offer the lamb, the sheep, the goats, the bulls, the rams, you know, all these different things, and the blood is what God was focusing on. The blood of the lamb was shed as payment for sin. It is the blood that paid for sin. And as you know, in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve sinned, and God said, "The day that you sin, you will surely die." And death came into the world through sin. So God's remedy, his plan to redeem us, is through death, or the shedding of blood, because sin brings death. That's how you pay for sin. When you pay for food, you give people money, right? But when you sin, it costs you life. Life is what is taken from you when you sin. There are even some theologians who would argue that every time we sin, or the more we sin, the shorter our lifespan, or the greater our lifespan is impacted by that sin, to the point where it shortens our life. And sin brings about death. The wages of sin is death. And that is why the Word of God is so intent on making the point that we should obey the Word of God. Obeying the Word of God brings life. When we apply the Word of God, we have life imparted into whatever that area of obedience that you are applying in your life. So if you obey God with your finances, God will bless your finances. If you obey God in raising up your children, he will bless you as you raise up your children. Whatever it is that you're doing, you will be blessed when you align your ways to the ways of God. And this is why people don't really understand the dynamics of God and the relationship between his word and us. His word has life in it. And as we apply the principles of God and His Word, we will have life imparted to us, all the way to the extent where we have eternal life. Even though these bodies will die, God will remove our soul, or the essence of our identity, out from us and place us in a new resurrected body, if you will, a redeemed body, so that we will have eternal life, a sinless body. And so this is the fundamental principle of the Christian life that we have to understand so that we can be persevering in our goal to be like Christ. That's why we want to be like Jesus. Not just because he was a cool guy who was doing all kinds of miracles and stuff, but because he is the persona of the Word of God and life eternal. And this is what you and I want for ourselves. This is what we want to experience. So I would like to use as a theme today the bloodline of the Father. The bloodline of the Father. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word today. And we just ask God that you would speak to our hearts and help us to understand who we are and what it is that you are doing in our lives, that we may live each day with confidence in you, knowing that you will never leave us nor forsake us, but that you are with us always, even to the end of the age, and you have a plan of redemption for us that will give us life even into all eternity as you are life. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you, O Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, the bloodline of the Father is an important principle to understand. And we know in the human body, the bloodline of the Father is what gets passed on. The blood of the Father is what's passed on to the children and to the generations after that. And their life is in the blood. Life is in the human blood. It is the very thing that when you get your shots and all of your medications, it metabolizes into the bloodstream, right? And as it goes into the bloodstream, it brings healing to the body. And depending on your DNA structure and what your system is resilient to and capable of, it will fight off every type of disease. You and I were designed originally to live forever. The human body is designed to live for eternity. But because of sin, it does not. And God did something in that sinful place that Adam found himself when he disobeyed the word of God and obeyed the word of Satan. Then things shifted. Life was taken away. And that's because the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. And the gift of God is Christ the Lord. He is our life. As you all know, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me or through me." And that's John, right, 14:6. And so we are born of God. We have been talking about how we become citizens of the holy city. And we talked about John the Baptist's conversation with Jesus about how he must be born again. And when you are born into the world, or you're born into life, or born into Christ, you take on the bloodline of the Father. Now, Jesus was born of Mary, isn't that right? And she had a virgin birth, we call it. But really, her birth was from the Heavenly Father. God was the one who impregnated her. So the bloodline of Jesus comes from his Father, who is God in heaven, right? We understand that, right? And that's why Mary had to have what we would call that virgin birth, because the bloodline comes from the Father. And so Jesus is the Son of God because the blood of Jesus is from his heavenly Father. Are you with me? And so as a result, the power of God is in the blood of Jesus. His identity comes from that birth that he experienced through the Heavenly Father and Mary. So he became fully God and fully man, fully human. So he is God and man. And this is important because of what happened in the Garden of Eden. And I would like to go back to the beginning here and take a look in Genesis chapter 1. And as we know, in verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Right off the bat, there's no assumptions here. There's no guessing. There's no trying to figure this out. God is speaking, and he says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Heavens is plural, and the earth. And so what we see here is that God is a creative God who has created everything that we know and beyond. And as a result of that, this helps us to understand why having a relationship with Jesus is so important in our lives and why the Word of God is so critical to our eternal life experience. And so in verse 2, it says, "The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters." And so the thing I'd like to point out here is, number one, is that there is chaos. The world and the earth and all that we know is formless. It's just moving all around. It's just blah. It's like a mess. It's everything all mixed together. And it's void. It lacked purpose. It lacked conformity. It lacked any kind of consistency. And as a result, it says darkness was over the surface of the deep, or the depths, as far as we can see or you would be able to know or perceive. It was just total darkness when God started. And it says the Spirit of God then started to move on the surface of the waters. And this is an important picture. Can you picture this? You know, kind of the Spirit of God is what is moving. And I would like to begin by saying we need the Spirit of God to move in our lives in order to bring our chaotic life into order. And what the world is experiencing right now is a move away from God. So more chaos is being spread. Things are getting worse because as people move away from God, chaos is what is the result. It is God who retains order. And so when we follow the Word of God and the plans of God, and we do the will of God, then order is the result in our lives. And it doesn't matter what level you apply this principle, it applies. And even in the smallest way, when you follow God's plan, it always brings order. Whatever area of life you are looking to pull together, you must apply biblical principles to those areas of life so that you can experience a divine experience. You can have what God intended it to originally be, the way it was made to be. And then it will bring things into order. And that you cannot do on your own. That is what the law was all about, the law of Moses and all of that. It was to show that without God, you can't do this. And that is why we need the Spirit of God to move upon the waters of our heart, of our life. And the water represents the Word of God. And so what this is telling us is that the Spirit of God was moving, or you can say molding or shaping, the Word of God. He was causing his Word to come alive or to to accomplish what its intended purpose was. This is why the scripture says God watches over his word to perform it, or he hastens his word or chastens his word to perform it. The whole idea is that the Spirit of God causes the word of God to come alive. Hallelujah. And this is why the word of God tells us that we should meditate on his word day and night, because it will bring our chaotic selves into order without even trying to do it. It will just begin to happen for you. You will begin to see things. You will begin to experience things. You will begin to find that the power of God, the Spirit of God, will be causing his word that you've received into your heart to come alive and take shape as God designed it to be. Hallelujah. Are you with me?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Great. So Genesis 7, verse 7, chapter 1 says that God made the expanse and separated the waters which were below the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening and there was morning a second day. And so now we see these expanses that God is calling heaven. And the heavens are everything that is in the air and up, right? Everything that's not on the ground or not living on the ground. It's the whole atmosphere that is in the air and as it goes up. And the atmosphere shifts the higher up you go. As you are here on earth, the conditions are such that the things that were created to live on the earth would be able to survive. You see that here. And here in verse 10, it says, God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. So now we have the heavens, we have the land, and we have the seas. These are known as realms. These are the realms of God's creation. And there's all types of typology throughout the Word of God that we will see as we study the Word of God when we look at these different realms. But whenever you see these three things, think of realms. These are atmospheres, if you will. And depending on what God created you to be, that will determine the atmosphere that you were designed to live in. Obviously, a fish is designed to live where? In the water, in the sea. Animals and people and everything that is creepy and breathing air, right? The creepy things, God calls them. Right? If God calls them creepy things, you shouldn't feel bad when you go, "Oh, get that thing away from me." Right? So these are all things that were designed to live in the atmosphere that we're familiar with, right? The air. What happens when you take something, pick anything, that was designed to live on land and put it in the water? What happens? It drowns, right? Unless there is some protection provided for that creature to be able to maintain its atmosphere in the other realm. Once you change realms, you need protection in order to survive or live in that realm. It's the same in the air. The higher up you go, you end up way up in where the planes are flying. Then what happens? The air is thinner, isn't that right? And that's why in the plane, you have the cabin is oxygenized, right? It's gotten pressurized. So there's a special formula of oxygen and pressure that is in an airplane that is designed to replicate being on the ground. And the higher up you go, the more you need to make those adjustments. That's why spacemen wear space suits, right? Because they have to have that atmospheric condition Because if you go up into space and you just go in your regular suit and clothes and everything you regularly wear, you will explode, right? You will literally blow out because the pressure in your body is greater than the pressure outside pressing into your body. So the atmospheric conditions all shift and change depending where you go. And so these three realms are the realms that God has created and that we see here in creation, in addition to the realm of God. And that is the spirit realm, the realm where God exists, where God is. And in the God's realm, he has beings and creatures that he has created that live in the realm of the spirit, where God is. And that is where we find the spirits of darkness, Satan, and fallen angels, and angelic hosts. And we see all of these things that God had created that are now operating in this realm. We all understand that the fallen and the dark and the evil is the result of Satan rebelling against God and so on and so forth. That's a whole nother, you know, sermon, right? So essentially, these realms are important to understand because the spirit realm where God is transcends all other realms. Everywhere and everything that God has created is impacted by the spiritual realm. It's a depth to us. It's a type of depth perception that gets added to our existence, the realm of the spirit. And the spirit realm can impact, or it definitely impacts and even governs the experiences in the natural realm. And that is what we are seeing take place here in Genesis as we look at God's creation. In verse 24, it says, "Then God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after their kind. And it was so. And then God said, let us make man in our image." The word image there, it means carved out of us, carved out of what we are carved out of. In other words, we are like God in the sense that God is a spiritual being. And we now are not only created of the earth or out of the earth, but a spirit is put into us, or the capacity to have or to relate into the spirit realm is placed into us or given to us, which the animals and creeping things did not have. The birds and these fish did not have this given to them or imparted to them. And so according to the likeness of God, "And let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." That means you can step on them and you can rule over them. You can say, "Not in my house." And so we have all of these realms represented. Do you see that? The realms of God's creation are all represented here, but the one thing that's missing is the spirit realm, and that is because it's part of our identity. It's part of who we are. So we have the depth of God operating in our humanity, or in our human creation or created state. And so as a result, you and I have the ability to reach in or tap in and experience the realm of God, the realm of the Spirit of God. And God gives us this so that we can have a relationship with God. Otherwise, we could not. We could not commune with God. So God has imparted something of himself to us as human beings, as people. And so we can reason and rationalize. We can operate with a moral compass, which is what others do not have. And this is what God has given us. And it is those things that were lost when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. They lost their ability to operate in the realm of God, in the righteousness of God, in harmony and unity with God and His Word. Remember, the Word of God is what caused all of this to happen. It's the Word and the Spirit moving upon all that God spoke into existence. Are you following me? All right, great. So as we live our lives, this is important to understand, because we have to have a relationship with God and His Word so that we can have restoration take place in our life, so that we can be redeemed from all that Adam lost. And so we see this here in Exodus 12:23. It says, "For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to come into your house to smite you." This is an important verse, because this is a picture of what the blood of Jesus does in our life. You see, the lintel is the top bar of the door. Like on a door, you see the door, the top piece is called the lintel, and then the posts are the ones that go up and down. And so God had called his people, the Israelites, to put the blood over the doorpost, all the way up, across, and down. And really, it's a picture of God's redemption, of life being in the blood. And it's a symbol of them being a part of the family of God. We are of the lineage of God. And what God did was, he was trying to get, right, Pharaoh to let his people go, get the Egyptians to let the people of Israel go. And so as a result, God said, so that the death angel would know who belongs to God and who does not, put the blood on the doorpost. The blood represents the life that God has given. And so why is that significant? It's significant because the death angel was looking for people who obeyed the word of God. You see, when you obey the word of God, you are putting yourself under a covering of whatever that word is designed to do. And every time you obey God's word and you apply it in your life, you come under a divine covering. And so what happens is, when the death angel came, he came to be the destroyer. Destroyers destroy, they undo, they bring chaos, and they bring confusion, and they bring every kind of evil form of discord that they can bring. And what the death angel was doing is, he was undoing the order that was there, except for those who were under the covering. And this is why we obey the word of God. Because when we're in sin, we're coming out from under God's covering. That's really what it means to be in sin. It means to have withdrawn from the covering or the agreement of God's word. So now you are no longer obeying the word of God. That's why the scripture says obedience is better than sacrifice. It's because the whole purpose of sacrifice is not because God wants to have everybody making sacrifices. It's because he wants us to obey the word of God. And when we obey the word of God, it brings order into our lives. And we're able to operate in the realm that God has sent us. So wherever we go, whether it's evil and there's chaos and there's all kinds of things, the Spirit of God is our covering, and he enables us to go into places, and we can bring the word of God to bring order out of the chaos. Hallelujah. This is why missionary work is so important, going into various areas and places where the word of God has not been applied in the lives of the people. And as we apply the word of God in our lives, the life of God is imparted to us through Christ, who now we are joint heirs with. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, right? We've all heard that phrase. It means that we, because of the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross, is now our covering, like the doorpost. That's why we have communion every month, right? To remind us that we're under this covering of God, so that the destroyer, who's still in the world, he's the spirit of darkness, Satan, evil, the dragon, the word of God calls him. You know, we are under God's protection. Hallelujah. You and I are able to live and thrive and do well because God's word, as we apply it in our lives, gives us a divine protective covering. And so in verse 24, it says, "And you shall observe this event as an ordinance for you and your children forever." Hallelujah. 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 Now, how can you do something forever if you're not going to live forever? God says forever because God is eternal. And what we do as we apply and obey the word of God has eternal value. It lasts forever. His word will not fail. And you and I can trust in God, and we're supposed to train our children, right? Proverbs 22:6, right? Train up your children in the way they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. Why won't they depart from it? Because they will see that it works, unless you're a really bad example at fulfilling the word of God, because then they'll never know whether it works or not. And that is really where the problem is in when you see so many Christian children that don't follow the Lord when they grow up, they go away to college, and the world, the words of the world have more power and authority than the word of God does in their lives. And it's largely because they have not seen the power of God's word active in their families. And once you see the power of God's word working in your parents and in your sisters and brothers, and your parents are helping you to make that connection between their obedience to the word of God and the experiences that they are having, the children will never know. So the arguments of Satan will have the same effect as Adam and Eve in the garden, when Satan was able to convince Eve that the word of God was not true. This is what's happening in schools. It's happening in the world around us. TV programs and all these things that we watch, they all have this principle at work in order to separate the people from the covering of God, so that Satan can have chaos and unruliness and all types of evil operating in people's lives. Some people have been saved by Satan. In other words, they've been saved out from God and into the realm of darkness, and they think that they have freedom to do whatever they want to do because that's going to bless them, but they don't realize that they are being robbed of an eternity that will give them a divine covering and the blessings of God that will last forever. And this is why we have to hold on to the word of God. If people want to do evil and go against the word of God, you know, go ahead. Go ahead. You will reap what you sow. You will get, well, I guess the modern term is what goes around comes around, right? That's the same thing as what you sow, you will reap. And we will see that happen as the days become more and more evil and as Jesus gets closer to his return. We will see that, and it will become more and more evident between those who actually are under the covering of obedience and application of God's word and those who are not. And depending on which area you comply or come into kingdom compliance, that will be the area where the blessing of God will be in your life. And this is why we have to walk in wholeness, holy and righteous unto God. That means every area of your life You've got to bring into divine alignment. You've got to bring it into compliance with the Word of God. This is why the Word of God says, study to show yourself approved, a workman unto God that needs not be ashamed, right? 2 Timothy, right? So you and I have to come into compliance with the Word of God so that we can have a divine experience. So he goes on in Exodus 25, it says, 12:25, it says, when you enter the land which the Lord will give you, as he has promised, you shall observe this rite. And when your children say to you, what does this rite mean to you? You shall say, it is a Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the sons of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians, but spared our homes. And the people bowed low and worshiped. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is why we celebrate communion. It's a reminder of what Christ did for us through his example of surrendering himself and paying our sin debt. And it is his blood that now becomes the blood of the lamb that was placed over the doorposts in Egypt. Jesus is the final sacrificial lamb. And because of his life and death, you see, a lamb and a sheep and a goat, they don't live forever, do they? No. So when, every time they did these sacrifices, they would have to do it every year, because God said, well, you got to do it every year, or every time you sin, you got to make some kind of atonement for that. But when you come to Christ, Jesus' blood has eternal life in it. Because Jesus is eternal, his blood lasts forever. That means when you apply the blood of Jesus through obedience to God in your life, you will also have eternal life, because the bloodline of the Father is transferred to you. And so now you are adopted into the family of God. You are born into the kingdom of God, into the lifeline of God, and you gain eternal life. This is how it works. And I pray that you understand this so that you can have confidence as you live your life. As you go through each day, you realize the importance of studying the Word of God so that you can make sure that you're not missing any areas of your life and finding yourself making decisions and doing things that are outside of what God would have you to do. And that is why we pray and we say, God, show us, God, teach us, God, help us, so that we can be the people that God has called us to be. And so, finally, it says, you shall say, it is a Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the sons of Israel. In other words, their houses were maintained. They were kept intact. They were spared. And this is what leads to worship. Now you know why we worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Because we're reminded of how God has given us life. He has spared us, and he is sustaining us, and he is keeping us so that you and I can rejoice. That's why we're so glad. Hallelujah. Because we have the blood of Jesus applied in our lives, and that causes us to have love, right? Joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and what? Self-control, or even a sound mind. So when everybody's going crazy, we're saying, okay, God, show me. And the Lord says, don't worry. I knew this was going to happen. Yeah, I've been preparing for this for centuries. Don't worry about it. We got this. And we can trust in God. And so what do? We just bow and worship. We say, thank you, Lord. Ring up that song again. Hallelujah. And the world's going, ah! We're going, hallelujah, praise God. Why? Because God is already taking care of it for us. All we have to do is apply his principles in our life. We put the blood on the door. We obey. We just do what God says to do, and we align ourselves, and God watches over us. and he causes things to work together for our good because we love him and are called according to his purposes. That means we do whatever he says. That's the way that works. And so verse 28 says, then the sons of Israel went out and they did so, right? You see that? It says they went out and they did so. That is the most important thing anyone could ever grab onto. It is the point that they did what God said to do. And you and I have got to get this part right. So many Christians, they can quote scripture, they can tell you how blessed they are, they can tell you how wonderful God is and all this stuff, but then they don't even do what God says to do. So you and I can do all that talking, but the proof will be in the pudding, as they say. Because when the death angel comes over, you can have all the talking in the world. If you didn't put the blood on the door, you could have said, well, I got my lamb. It's sacrificed. Look at that. Oh, I got it all together. Woohoo, I'm good. Yeah, well, did you put it over the door? Did you apply it in your life? Because that is what is the actual thing that God is looking for. He's looking for you to apply it in your life. And wherever you apply the word of God, that is where the blessing or the covering of God will work in your life. And so, just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. They did what God told them to do. So in 1 John 1:5, it says, this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Do you see that? It's what you practice that will determine what you get. If you practice the wrong thing, it's not if you make a mistake here and there as you're trying to do the right thing. It's if you practice the wrong thing. That means that is your way of doing it. That is your way of life. That is your typical modus operandi, right? You are operating contrary to the word of God or the plan of God. And so if you do, then you're going to be in trouble, it says. It says that you don't have fellowship with God. It says that you're lying. How many people are lying? How many people say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian? Have you ever been on the job and you find out somebody's a Christian and you go, really? Right? I mean, doesn't that happen a lot? It happens a lot. And you're going, wow, I never would have guessed that you were a Christian. I mean, I just wouldn't have known. And you and I, as Christians, we have to have enough evidence to prove us guilty of being a child of God. And the only way that's going to happen is if you actually do what the word of God says. If you live according to the word, in harmony with the word of God. And so you and I have to practice the truth. And in verse 7, he says, if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with what? One another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. What cleanses us from sin? The blood of Jesus. Because the blood of Jesus pulls people together. It brings chaos into order. And that's why we want to connect. That's why we want to come to church. That's why we want to fellowship. I couldn't understand people who were sitting at home watching services on TV going, yeah, I'm good. I was not good. I was not good sitting at home, even watching myself on TV. I still was not good. I was not good. I was like, man, I want to go there. I need to be there. Wasn't it weird sitting at home on Sunday? Going, da-dee-da-dee-da. Oh, yeah, look, oh, we're about to come on. Yeah, that was just the weirdest. There was just something wrong with that. But, man, when we came together, the power of God, the presence of God, the spirit, the anointing, the fellowship, the love, hallelujah. That is because that's what the word of God does, and the spirit and the word work together. The Spirit of God moves on the face of the waters, on the Word of God. And you and I need to hold on to the Word of God so the Spirit of God can bring life to us, can bring order into our lives. And so you and I are clean by the blood of Jesus because we are obeying the Word of God. It's obeying the Word of God that cleanses you. Jesus himself said, "Now you are clean by the words which I have spoken to you." It is the Word of God, the spoken Word of God, as he speaks the Word, as he ministers it out, it's with Spirit. Whenever you hear a sound, it is the combination of the sound with whatever spirit that originates that sound. That is why music is so important, because whatever spirit is originating the sound, that is the spirit that is going forth from the sound to do whatever it is that it says. And that's why, as Christians, you be careful what you listen to, what is being ministered to you, because otherwise you will come under the influence of the spirit of the music, not even so much of the, you say, well, it doesn't even have words. Oh yeah, but it has spirit. And where that spirit comes from is more important than you realize. And that is why we have to operate under a divine covering, where the Spirit of God is moving over the face of the waters. He says, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. That means you're lying to yourself. So you're not the truth. Another word for truth is another word for the Word of God. So you could substitute God's word. And when it says the truth is not in you, you can say God's word is not in you, or the spirit of God's word is not in you. And there are a lot of people who know the word, they know the letter of the word, but the spirit of the word is not in them. And that is why people can continue in the habit of sin by doing things that are not of God over and over and over again, and it does not seem to bother them. It's because they're not operating under the spiritual influence of God and his word. They're operating under a spirit of deception that came forth from Eve and Adam in the garden when Satan introduced it. It's the same spirit. Are you following me? You get it? Hallelujah. So verse 9 says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In other words, when you confess, when you're speaking it out, you're releasing it from you, you're admitting it so that God can wash it away. Hallelujah. Well, how do you know that it's a sin? The only way you would know it was a sin is if you learned it from the Word of God. So when you learn something from the Word of God and you say what God says and it takes an application, you do something like confession. Confession is the action that leads to the experience or the response. So as you speak it out, as you say, I was wrong. That's why it's always good to apologize to people, right? When you do wrong or you do evil or you do something you shouldn't have done, you should always apologize, because what you are doing is you are confessing, you are letting it out, you're releasing it from you so that the Spirit of God can come alive within you and you are restored. Doesn't it feel good when you apologize? Have you ever apologized? What? Right? It does, right? It feels good. The fact that you apologize. Now, if the other person smacks you, you know, you just take it, right? You say, well, I probably deserved it. But at least you feel good. You say, now they have something to confess. And now you can just say, thank you, Lord. At least I did the right thing, right? But nevertheless, confession is what leads to a response that brings the life of God and the power of God. And so God cleanses us from everything we did not do right. That's what unrighteousness is, everything you didn't do right according to God's word. And so in verse 10, he says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word, here it is translated for us, is not in us. It's all about the application of the word. And so that's why John 1, 12 and 13 says, but as many as received him, Jesus, to them he gave the right or the authority to become children of God, even to those who believe on his name. And believe means believing, not just knowing and acknowledging it, but where you come to a place where you do whatever he says we should do. When we apply the principles of God's word in our life, the words of Jesus. And so he says, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Hallelujah. And God is spirit. So, but born of, you can say, the spirit of God or God's spirit. And so God's spirit is what brings life to us. It's what enables us. It's what brings power to us. And it's because we are under the bloodline, or we are born into the bloodline of God through Jesus. John 4, 24 says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Truth is another word for the word of God. What God says is true. Jesus said, my word is true. And this is what you and I are holding on to. We're holding on to the truth of God's word. We're applying it in our lives. Mark 5, 39 to 41 says, entering in, he said to them, why make a commotion and weep? Here's Jesus, and he's coming in, and he's been asked to pray for this daughter, this young girl, this young child. And so he says, the child has not died, but is asleep. Now they're all going, what? So here they are crying and weeping. They have this whole big commotion going. Jesus says, she's just sleeping. So what happens? They began laughing at him. You know, this is where it's really dangerous. You know, I just can't see laughing at Jesus the way they're, this is like they're belly aching laughing. They go from, they're crying, they're all upset, she's dead, we lost her. And Jesus says, she's not dead, she's asleep. And then they go, it's like, really? You know, how do you make that change unless something is wrong with you, right? There is something wrong with you. So here they are, and so what does Jesus do? He put them all out, right? But putting them all out, why? Because Jesus has to operate under and in an atmosphere that is established by the spirit of God's word, the dimension of God. These guys were operating in the flesh and in chaos and in darkness and confusion, and Jesus had to put them out so that he could bring order into this situation. And this is why you want to have people around you who are operating in the right dimension. Even though they're operating in this realm, they need to be operating in the right spirit, the spirit of God. Not every believer, not every Christian operates in the right spirit. They operate in the flesh according to the realm of the earth. And if you don't add the dimension of the spirit to your life and begin to operate in alignment and accordance to the word of God so that the spirit of God can bring life to you, you will not be able to experience the power of God in your life. And therefore, this child was able to be healed by Jesus. It says he took along the child's father and mother and his own companions and entered the room where the child was. So he put everyone else out and he brought in those who were on one accord, those who were operating in the same spirit of Jesus. They went and they called Jesus. They asked Jesus. And this is why you and I have to pray. This is why we talk to God. This is why we are fellowshipping with certain Christians and not other Christians, because we want people who are operating in the right dimension of the Spirit of God, in the right power and presence of God, that the Word of God is coming alive. And you can be friends with everybody or anybody, but the people you want to be close to are the people who operate in the dimension or the realm of the Spirit of God. That is where the anointing is. That is where the power is. That is where healing is. That is where the move of God is. And that is where you and I need to abide in Christ, because that's where Jesus is. And so he puts them out and he brings these guys in. And as a result, he takes the child by the hand and he says to her, Talitha cum, which translated means, little girl, I say to you, get up. Hallelujah. Get up. And God is in the business of raising people up. He is in the business of bringing life to people who apply the principle of God's word. And when you follow the will of God and the word of God, you are changing the atmosphere or the realm that you are operating in, from the realm of the earth to the realm of the Spirit of God. And in his presence, there is the fullness of joy and of love and of peace, patience, kindness, gentleness. There is healing. This is what the blood of Jesus will do in your life, because you are born of the Heavenly Father. And so Jesus says to her in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And that is why we've had a lot of funerals lately, but I tell you, they are not dead, they are alive, because the Spirit of God has given them life. And though this body went back into the earth, the spirit or the dimension of their soul, which was redeemed or born of the blood of Jesus, but through the Heavenly Father, by the blood of Jesus, they have life in them. Hallelujah. Life is imparted to them. And that is why we will see them again. He says, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Hallelujah. Oh, saints of God, I hope you believe this today. Romans 2:13 says, for it is not the hearers of the law who are just before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. Put the blood on the door. Stop talking about it and do it. Hallelujah. Do what the word of God says. When you do it, you will have an awesome life experience. God will change the dimensions of your life and give you eternal life. You will have access into the realm of God, which means God's will come to pass when you apply the word of God. Romans 8:29 says, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed or changed or transformed into the image, the same image that God created man in his own image. We are cut out of God himself, of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And guess who the rest of the brethren are? You and I, we're all the rest of the brethren. Jesus was first, and now we are joint heirs with him. Hallelujah. And so finally, Revelation 21 says, he says, then, and this is where we're going to see it all come together. He says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God and made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people. And God himself will be among them, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death, there will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain or thing, first things that have passed away. Hallelujah. And he who sits on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And he said, write, for these words are faithful and true, saints of God. You can trust the fact that God's word is true. When you're born of the Spirit of God, when you have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, you are aligned in the bloodline of the Father, you can be assured that God is preparing a place for you, that where he is, you may be also. You will live and you will not die, because life is in the blood of Jesus. And I pray that you will cover yourself by applying the word of God in your life. Be a doer of the word and allow the Spirit of God to manifest itself in your life, and you will have life everlasting, a life of joy and peace and patience and kindness, and you will see the manifestations of God like no one else in this world. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Come on. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Come on.
King of glory, have your glory. King of glory, have your glory, Lord. King of glory, have your glory. King of glory, have your glory, Lord.
Glory of God. We can operate in the presence of God. And the more we apply the word of God in our lives, the more we will have a glorious life experience. God will go before us. He will make a way, even when it seems impossible. You will be able to pray, and God will cause things to shift and to change simply because of your relationship to your Heavenly Father. And because you are walking in obedience and truth, you will experience the dimensions of the Spirit of God opening up in your life. And it doesn't matter what realm you find yourself, the Spirit of God will be your covering. He will enable you to experience God and the life that he brings, and you will know him in a powerful way, and your life will not be like those you see in the news or on TV or all around you in social media and all these things. You will be operating in the realm of the divine covering of the Spirit of God. And the anointing of God, who will indeed destroy every yoke of bondage in your life, and you will see the hand of God manifested like never before. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word today. And we ask, God, that you would come alive in the midst of us, and that you would enable us to apply your word in our hearts, and that we would be able to experience life the way you designed it to be, so that we would be able to experience the power of God, and that we would be able to overcome the challenges and the obstacles that the world is trying to bring into our way. But God, you are able to keep us from falling and to sustain us and to enable us so that we would be the ambassadors of Christ you called us to be. Our desire is to be your witnesses and let our lives be a testimony of the kingdom of God being at hand in this day, in this 21st century season, when God is still alive and able to rule. And we thank you, Lord, for using us and for enabling us, your people, to be those witnesses as we go to work, as we travel to and fro, as we go to school, as we interact with others. God, use us, oh God. Have your way. Help us, oh God. Sustain us and keep us. In Jesus' name we pray, and we thank you. And all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah.
Jesus, you're glorious.
Hallelujah.
You are so glorious.